all the like struggles that we may have faced back in the UK, that doesn't mean there aren't struggles out here. You know, Hong Kong is culturally very, very different, and the sort of, even like the parental support levels that we had in the UK, like, could be different out here. Like, engagement is the same. You know, in Hong Kong, a lot of the children, when they go home, like, maybe they don't see their families so much. The families are working a lot. Maybe they're brought up by like a different member of the family, or even like an auntie or someone that comes in to help out. And, you know, so we're dealing with children that maybe don't have as much social interaction at home. Maybe like a lot of what they learn comes from a screen. So it's a completely different challenge. I think everywhere in the world is going to have challenges regardless of where you're from.
Welcome everyone to part two with Katie Tala of Four Teachers. I hope you guys have checked out her YouTube channel. In this episode, we dive so far deep, sound so many rabbit holes, it is impossible to tell you all of the subjects right here. Stick around, I hope you enjoy.
There would be no way that I could ever preach this as 1,000 times easier than the UK, because it just comes with different challenges. You know, we do have a little bit more time to put together things like our YouTube project, which is great, but I think you're right. Like, anywhere that you go, there's going to be something. And at the end of the day, like, you're working with a classroom of children, no matter, you know, and every class is different. So the class I have this year in Hong Kong is completely different to the class I had last year. So regardless of where you are in the world, you've still got a class of children to inspire. You still have to go into that room and present yourself in a way that they're going to engage. So yeah, irrelevant to where you are in the world, there's going to be pros and cons. And you know, I'm just really enjoying this journey so far. I'm not saying, you know, I'm going to stay in Hong Kong forever. Maybe I'll end up teaching somewhere else at some point, and no doubt that will bring new challenges into my life. But for where I am right now, I'm finding it just really, really inspiring and really exciting.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to focus on this point because I think it really brings home the message of the podcast, the message of your YouTube channel with Four Teachers, and the message of Teach Me Teacher really is, we are all coming from such diverse backgrounds. Our students come from diverse backgrounds. Anytime you're using those backgrounds as an excuse for being lazy or for being negative or for putting out negativity about your profession, whether it's political negativity, whether it's classroom negativity, where it's budget negativity, like, those excuses, like, are just excuses for you to complain in a lot of ways. And I know that sounds like I'm harping on people, but I'm really not. I'm just trying to point out, like, you don't get excuses in education. Like, you don't. Like, we all deal with our own problems. Like, whether you're at a school that is predominantly, you know, the kids are, their parents are lawyers and doctors, or their kids are mostly fast food workers and janitors. Like, you don't get, each of us are dealing with our own stuff, just like each of our students are dealing with their own stuff. And the more we just accept that and move on and try to find those positive pieces, the more I think the profession of teaching and and just being in education in general is going to increase in its productivity, in the kind of teachers that we're pulling out. And I think for teachers, I think this is basically your essential message, which is like that we're all here doing the same thing. Let's figure it out.
Yeah, I think we haven't actually sat down and written like what our central idea would be. But if we were to write it, I think it would be pretty similar to what you just talked about. You know, the whole everyone's in this, but you get like teachers with all these different types of backgrounds, and you put them into a classroom with all these different types of children. Like, every time you do this, you're going to end up with a different mix. Every time is going to be different. You're never going to have the same class. And, you know, different people, they respond differently in situations. And, you know, we try and make the most of every situation we're put in. And hopefully that shows when we've got a lot of videos coming up in the future. We've got some really, really great ideas for honing in on. So some of the things that we've mentioned so far are quite big, like broad messages, but we're going to hone in on, you know, what people have told us they found useful. We'll hone in on, and we'll make a video specifically about like staff morale and, you know, supporting someone new in your school that looks like they need an extra hand. And we know that for now that could be our audience. But something that we haven't really touched on too much that I want to just mention is maybe the background that Ryan and I have. Like, it might not show so much in the videos right now, but we're both really into sort of computing. Ryan especially, he's just amazing at anything like like all this like technology. He uses a lot of VR. He uses a lot of like iPad apps, and he's just a really, really creative, like forward thinking teacher. He's kind of our tech geek as a, you know, I mean, I love the tech as well. So that's something that we're trying to channel in the future. We've got ideas for videos that use, you know, things like coding and all these different like online resources that are available to teachers. Hopefully we're going to try and channel into our videos. I mean, I don't know how much I should say because I don't know how many people might listen, but we were thinking of setting up something like Twitch for teachers. So you could have like teachers trying out new apps and playing them and discussing them together. I mean, this is a YouTube thing, right? People do these Let's Play videos and people watch them. There's children in my class and I ask them what they like to do. And they say, I watch people play games on the internet.
Yeah, I'm playing Fortnite all day long.
Don't get me wrong, right? I'm guilty. Ryan and I are both pretty big gamers ourselves. So we get it. Like, you know, that was our entire childhoods, like was spent gaming. So we get it. But it's interesting to see that children now, they're not really going home and playing Minecraft. They're going home and watching people play Minecraft as opposed to playing it themselves. And I know that this opens up a whole new discussion, but we have thought about ways that we can kind of offer almost PD for teachers that want to try using these new apps and coding programs, but we can play it ourselves and kind of show them what to do. I think for me personally, if I was told to do something for school, if there was something I could watch and learn like that, it would be way more engaging than being told, go and read this 20-page booklet all about theory behind why you should teach code. Like, it would be a lot more interesting for me to watch two people play it out. And you know, we're having to learn everything. It's only been 2 months, so we're learning how to do this whole screen overlay, and we're going to be like playing these apps and showing people like how to use them. You know, Ryan's really got the right head for this. He's working on some web design right now. We're going to have like a website for teachers, which is going to be kind of our community spot where people can come, and hopefully we'll have like podcasts, videos, Let's Play for teachers. You know,
oh my goodness. So you guys, I mean, you have it in spades, man. You are, you know, I said this to, you know, Miss Herfman over there, you know, at the Weary Teacher, which is, you know, I told her she has something that's going on in spades right now, and which is she's latched on to so many things that reach certain people, and you guys are the same way, which I'm totally pumped that I have you on the podcast, because in the future, I'm going to be like, you know what? I had them on first, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, when they're rock stars, like, and they have this huge community, I have them on here because, no, you're 100% right. Okay, so let's jump back a few steps, right? Our students, like, I posted on the Teach Me Teacher Facebook page, you know, Fortnite. I don't know how many kids play Fortnite over there in Hong Kong, but it's, like, a huge thing over here. And, you know, it's how I've connected to a lot of my students because I'm a gamer too. I play my PS4 all the time. You know, I'm jumping in there with them and they're like, Fortnite, Fortnite, Fortnite. And it came to mobile, right? And I posted on Teach Me Teacher. I said, look out, teachers, Fortnite's coming to mobile. And, like, you know, I got like 4 likes, 5 likes or whatever. And I was like, they don't understand like how big this thing is. And that's the same thing though. Like, a lot of teachers don't understand the power of Twitch. Like, they don't know who, you know, when their kids were coming to the room and they're saying Ninja played Fortnite with Drake and this was like this huge event and everyone was freaking out. Like, they don't understand, like, this is the new world, right? It's not, you know, they don't care about the Emmys and they don't care about the Golden Globes or the MTV Movie Awards or whatever. They care about who's on Twitch, who's streaming on YouTube, and that is where, you know, like, so let's take a few steps back. My favorite teacher, I've had her on the podcast. She was like my fifth guest, maybe. She's like the reason I became a teacher. Miss Hammer, she introduced us to Twitter when I was in high school. And she goes, guys, we're going to do this assignment on Twitter. You're going to tweet out. I think we were like tweeting as if we were a character from one of the books we were reading in our English class or something like that, right? And she graded it. And we were like, what's Twitter, right? What's social media? And, you know, we had MySpace at the time, just to date this podcast a little bit. Yeah. And you know, she was talking about Twitter and things. And, you know, lo and behold, Twitter became, you know, it never became like this massive thing. Other things came up in Instagram and stuff like that. But Twitter, like, she was in that. She was one of the teachers who were pushing that. And that's what you guys, like, latching onto Twitch and how can Twitch be useful for teachers and Snapchat and, like, you know, all of these other avenues that haven't explored. Like, that's the new wave, man. You guys, you have it in spades. So, like, just coming for me, whatever that means to you, like, I mean, go forth and prosper, because I'll listen. And I think so many teachers can benefit from realizing this other world that people are in.
Yeah, I think the sooner that teachers are willing to embrace this world that the children adore, like, the easier they'll make it for themselves. You know, there's only so many times you can tell children, get yourself off the screen, go outside and play, like we used to when we were, like, I get it. Like, I used to game all the time as a kid, and I used to play as well. Don't get me wrong. Like, my parents made sure that we were outside too. But I think the sooner teachers are willing to embrace this new changing world, like, the better that we'll be off, the better off we'll be. Because, you know, I was going to just mention as well that while Ryan and I worked at our old school, we were really lucky. We were sent on a lot of different training to do with sort of computing and coding, mostly because we were the teachers willing to go. But we were sent for some training to do with Minecraft, and this company who had set up this incredible thing where you could film yourself with a green screen and put yourself in the game Minecraft. And, you know, I think there's a video somewhere, I'll try and dig it up, of like me and Ryan, and we're just like walking through, we're like chopping up chickens, we're like jumping in with, like, you know. And I just think when we showed that to the kids, they lost their minds. They were just, I mean, completely blown away by this. And in fact, we showed this in a staff meeting that we did as well, and the teachers lost their minds. They were like, how is this possible? I mean, it wasn't even difficult. We had a green screen, we had a camera, we had Minecraft, we had some people who knew what to do, and we put this together in an afternoon. And I just think people think that it's actually harder than it is to embrace technology in education. Like, you get a lot of people who are really reluctant to give it a go because they're scared that in front of the children, they will look like they don't know what they're doing, right? They're scared that they'll open up this program and the children will know more than them. But I'm just like, use it, you know? I've taught kids who can program using Scratch from the age of 7, right? So that's great. I get that kid to teach the lesson and show the children what they've created. And hopefully that has another knock-on effect and they feel great because they're using their strengths to influence others. And, you know, I think it can be such a scary thing. We did a staff meeting where we asked the teachers to kind of grade themselves on how they felt about coding and programming. And based on how they graded themselves, we then split them off, and we had like more advanced coders working with Ryan on some really tough stuff. And I took the basics. So I took people through like coding for the first time, and teachers were like whooping like children. They were like screaming at this, like what they'd created. And they were like pestering me to come over and look at what they'd made on the program. It was, I mean, you know, I think if we can get teachers to act like children sometimes, maybe a little bit more, and get them to just try these different programs out and see what they're like, hopefully it'll just have a great knock-on effect to the children, their learning as well. So yeah, technology is a great big thing on our channel that we haven't actually touched on at all yet, mostly because we're still learning ourselves how to put this kind of thing together, you know, and it's been 2 months. But I can let you know that now that like it's a huge area that we have explored, that we're going to bring to the screens at some point.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue, like, I find with technology, because, you know, I just went to a conference by Penny Kittle and Kelly Gallagher, which still haven't got them on the podcast, but they're my goal. I went to their conference, and they repeatedly talked about screen time with students. And I get the sentiment when people are talking about, you know, kids are spending too much time on screens. There's tons of scientific data that shows like why social media has negative effects on adolescents and stuff like that. You know, it's only putting out your best, so people have false senses of what it means to be a happy person. And, you know, there's tons of data like that. I'm not trying to knock all of that. Obviously, you shouldn't spend all of your time on social media and screen time and things like that. However, I think when we only say that, we don't talk about the boon of technology. We don't talk about how, I mean, for God's sakes, we're having this conversation about technology. You're literally in the future to me. You're the next day.
Yeah, I can tell you the lottery numbers.
Yeah, like the fact that we're able to have this across the world is phenomenal. And to take that away from our students and to ignore that, like, they experience a world where kids who are eighth graders at my middle school can put out a rap over a beat and kids all over the world can hear it, or they can put out an Instagram post and kids all around the world can like it and stuff like that. That is a that is something that you shouldn't try to squash. You should try to maximize its potential for education.
Just that's really interesting you've said this, because the whole way that Four Teachers came about basically through what you're saying. We sat down, we knew we wanted to do something, right? We had nothing. We wanted to do something to do with technology, actually. Technology was our first call. And we were looking at that. You know, you see these photos on the internet, you'll know what I'm saying, where you see like, there's like a kid holding a picture and it says something like, please, can you share this round as many schools as you can, because we want to stress the dangers of how scary it is that a message can be sent around the world in a day through our school, right? You've seen this kind of post.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at it and we were like, okay, but what you're saying right now is actually really, really negative. You're implying that this post can travel around the world really fast and it's scary and it's a bad thing, right? We get that. We understand the morals. We understand that people do live these fake online lives and there's dangers on the internet. We're fully aware of this. Like, we grew up as part of this dangerous internet. You know, we've seen everything.
Yeah.
But we were sort of looking at this picture and we were thinking, wouldn't it be better to kind of channel, look how amazing this is. You can take a photo or you can have an idea. You can believe in something and you can have that shared around the world so fast. Like, it isn't all scary. And I think maybe teachers that are a little more old fashioned with their thinking, they're so scared of the internet and they're scared of what it can do to children that they forget that if you teach children to respect the internet and use technology in a careful way, they can get their messages across the world. I mean, I could maybe put something together that I'm really, really passionate about, kind of like I've done, and we can put it on the internet and people can see it and respond to it. Imagine if we were teaching children the morally correct way to use social media and how to send a really nice Instagram comment to someone, how to say, actually, yeah, this is great, like, I'm supporting your ideas, rather than picking at each other all the time. That's actually one of the first videos we mapped out, was basically like positive, how to send a positive Instagram comment. I know that sounds really simple, but, and we haven't actually gone into that yet because we know what our current audience is after and we're trying to tap into like new teachers. But long term, we want to explore this. We want to talk about how people have these impressions of the internet and technology and how really we should be looking at it in a positive way. Like, there's so many different things that we could explore through this if we just go ahead and embrace it.
Yeah, well, I think it's really easy to jump on the negative side of anything. I mean, negativity is always easier to latch on to positivity. I mean, scientifically, our brains are wired to latch onto the negativity because, you know, evolution, survival, all kinds of things like that. So negativity always survives way easier than positivity. But with technology, what's interesting is that I think it's really important to remember that it's so new. Like, the people always talk about, like, you know, don't look at the comments of a video, right? Like, don't scroll down, because people are, you know, you just see the worst of the people on certain YouTube videos, right? But though, like, that's a symptom of it being so new. Like, I mean, for, like, touch screens are not that old in reality. The internet, as we know it today, is not as old as, like, it feels like it's been a long time because so many things have changed, but it really hasn't been, right? I mean, a decade, maybe, of modern internet usage, of modern social media. MySpace, even though our kids don't know what that was, that is not that long ago, right?
I feel like a lot of our listeners will, and they'll get it.
Yeah, like, it's really not that long ago. Like, and MySpace was the jam, right? But that is, the point I'm making is, like, we have to, like, when people bash the internet, I feel like they're not being long-term. Like, we're not going to change how much people use social media. Social media is going to evolve as VR and AR become more enriched. Like, it's just going to become more, like, people are wearing, you know, iWatches where their messages are there, but wait till it's on your glasses. Like, some company, Snapchat, has already invented, you know, the glasses where you can snap and record videos through that. And they're bulky and no one uses them, but that's the beginning. It always starts somewhere, right? The first computers were trash too. So, like,
exactly.
But like that, like, we can't resist it because it's going to happen. What we can do is educate our young people and learn as much as we can as to what does it mean to be not only a citizen of our country, but to be a citizen of the world, right? What does it mean to be courteous to someone who has completely different beliefs in the Middle East when we have a conversation with them over social media? That is such a deeper lesson than, you know, how to be nice to someone at your table, right? There is that. You need to be nice to people in front of you. But, like, what does it mean to be respectful to someone who has vastly different beliefs in life situations in Iraq or Syria or Hong Kong, right? Like,
I think something that I might pitch here is that when I was younger and, you know, like you were saying, probably similar for you, all these computers became available and, like, they were clunky, they were useless, and video games came out and I loved them, but they weren't all that. My parents had this whole discussion where they wanted to let us use stuff, but they were really cautious as well. And I think I owe a lot to my dad because he knew that I wanted a computer. So he was like, right, well, you can have one, but you got to build it. And I thought he was joking. He wasn't joking. He made me build a computer from scratch. I mean, like, he got all the parts. And he was like, you want to use it? You're going to have to understand how this thing works and really take responsibility for this, like, gift that we are going to give you. So there's some photos somewhere. Maybe I'll try and dig them up. And I'm like, my dad, like, took photos of the whole thing on this terrible camera. And he made me, like, build a computer from scratch. And we're talking all the parts in, wire it all up, get it all ready, get a fan in there. Like, and he taught me through, like, every part. And you know, for me to then have that piece of equipment to use that I felt ownership of was really special, because now when I'm talking to children about things and they don't have this, like, understanding of where it's come from, I feel like as a teacher, I'm now better because I make sure they understand, like, where things come from and how they're put together and the process of creation. And if they're going to be using social media, for example, or these games or online resources, they need a bit of background knowledge. They need to be shown, right, if you're going to be using Instagram, and I can't really stop these children, right? Even if they're younger, I can tell their parents, like, take them off it, but really they're going to find a way around that. And try and just tell children, like, if you're using this anyway, and I can't stop you, I'm going to guide you. I'm going to help you out. I'm going to not exactly make you build it from scratch, but I'm going to give you tools and suggestions that will allow you to use it in a really responsible way. If we're moving forward and using this kind of technology in the world, like, it needs to be made more positive for children. They need to have some background knowledge of what they're doing.
Yeah. And you know what, this is a classic example, going back to what we're talking about with curriculum and what it means to be a responsive teacher or a teacher teaching to what kids engage with. Like, the curriculum that get, like, for us in Texas, right? I mean, our curriculum takes forever to change. If they decide to change something, there's things we can do at a district level, but then the state standards take forever. Like, it's just, like, a ridiculous process. By the time, you know, they just put in, like, digital dictionaries into our standards, like, a few, you know, not that long ago. And it's like, for the love of God, really? Like, this is, you know, it's so far beyond. But, like, to be a teacher in the know, to be doing your students the best service, like, you have to be able to realize, like, use the technology for what it is and not be afraid of it. I mean, like there's one thing to have an opinion about social media and what it does to certain things, but it's also, like, I think you do, it's almost like resisting certain books, right? You know, I'm an English teacher, so, like, I hoard books and I support books of whatever controversy level. I think all books should never, no book should be banned. Everyone should be allowed to read whatever they want to read. But there's people out there who feel like they can tell their child not to read a book or not to watch something. Well, guess what? You know what? As a teacher, I can ask them and they'll tell me honestly. And you know what? They watch that show that you don't want them to watch, whether you believe it or not.
It makes it almost forbidden fruit. They're like, oh, my teacher doesn't want me to watch this, I'm going to go home and watch it.
Yeah, like, I had, you know, I had a lesson where we were talking about censorship, and we talked about the censorship of a specific book. A parent had a problem with it, and, you know, I was like, you know what, whether you believe it or not, like, your students have already seen this, right? Your child knows about this, and we're doing them a disservice not to approach those controversial subjects, because they, like, you don't want them talking about, you know, it's the whole, the sex talk, right? You don't want them to have that talk with their friends, because their friends are getting it from all over. You want a responsible adult to be there when they're facing those difficult discussions that come about when they're getting older. And that includes violence, and it includes social media, and it includes social justice, it includes racism, like all of the big things that no one wants to talk about. We have to talk about those things with our students, or they're going to get it from somewhere else. And that's when you have problems.
Yeah, I feel like you may have just mapped out like a load of videos we could do in the future. I mean, I'm joking in one way, but also I'm not, because everything you've just mentioned, all these different topics that are kind of shunned and sometimes people are so reluctant to deal with, or if it happens, people will say, well, you shouldn't have watched that because it's like not in your age bracket anyway. So forget you ever saw it. You know, well, they've seen it, right? We need to deal with it. So I mean, we did consider in the future we might be doing videos about sort of this kind of thing and how, if it's going to happen anyway, we just need to embrace it and try and support students in the best way we can. Because, yeah, I do think as soon as you say like something shouldn't be watched, or in fact on the internet, like these influencers that we're talking about, there's plenty of role models who children look up to who will pitch that their channel isn't even aimed for children, so they can't be blamed for this, right? Because it's not really like what they're pitching anyway. But like, they will suggest a film or a game, and you know that children shouldn't be playing it, right? And yet they're gonna find it, they're gonna play it, and in fact they're gonna want to do it even more because it's been branded as something that's not aimed for them. So once they have played it, like, what role do teachers have in this? Like, do you just stand at the front of the classroom and you say, right, no, I'm not talking about that because you shouldn't have gone on it anyway. You're not 15 yet, right? You shouldn't have done it. Or do you sort of go into, right, well, it's been seen, it's been played. Now we've got children who are very like upset or confused, or, you know, I think being a teacher, as you've probably considered yourself before, is so much more than just teaching. It's almost like a social worker's role. Almost you play the role of the police sometimes. You're also almost like a parent from time to time when you have to be. I mean, you can be a bodyguard when you have to be, right? And there's so much that goes into the complex job role of a teacher. And it's tough to decide sometimes how many of these roles you're willing to take on, especially when your contract probably doesn't mention it. But it's important for people going into this profession to understand that we are moving forward into potentially difficult times, but also incredible times. I can't wait for the day that I can, well, I probably could already, I could take my children on a full field trip through VR, right? Somewhere where we could never physically get to. Let's imagine my Hong Kong children right now. It doesn't snow in Hong Kong ever. Maybe like a few flakes once upon a time at the top of a mountain. But if I wanted my children to see that, and I can't fly them all abroad, you know, there might be the opportunity in the future to use technology to put some goggles on them and take them through the Arctic, because we created an igloo out of cotton wool and that was somewhat real for them. But wouldn't it be nice in the future to be able to use this kind of technology in a positive way? And I think that's what we're both trying to get across here, is that we should be using these tools and trying not to shy away from them, because it's going to happen anyway. We might as well be one step ahead.
Yeah. And so I don't know how popular this book is, across the seas, but The Hate U Give is super popular over here in America, possibly because of the police violence we're seeing. We're seeing the Black Lives Matter movement. We just did a podcast about cultural diversity in American curriculum and things like that, and it was really focused on, you know, the repressed voices that have been going on and the struggles that these certain cultures have, the non-white cultures. And as a white teacher, I try to embrace in any, like, I've taken on, like, I'm a white male in America. I don't, you know, I get all of the natural biases that come up, right? Like, you know, I benefit from all of them, whether I want them or not, you know, and that's a fact. But I try, because of that, I make a conscious choice to listen to the people who feel repressed, or listen to the people who feel like they don't have an equal say in society. Whether I agree with them or not, it doesn't matter. I listen to them and I try to see their point of view. And this book, you know, the hate you give. It's one of those things, like you were saying, to where, you know, there's some crass language and some violence and stuff like that. But to ignore that this is the reality of so many of my students. I work at a Title I school. We work with kids from Egypt and from Syria and from New York and from poor counties and from rich counties. I work with all of them. And a lot, that book, even though for a middle-class white family might seem extreme and vulgar and all this other stuff, I can give it to another kid who is like, wow, I knew a person who dealt with this police problem, right? I know someone who got shot by a police officer and I don't feel like they should have. And like, that's the, you know, bringing it to literature, but like, it's the same thing with technology is, like, we can't resist these things. We might be afraid of them and they might seem scary to us. But like, as a teacher, like, you brought up like the many roles we play. Like, one of the roles like we have to play is like, where a parent can tell their child not to do something. But as a teacher, like, we can tell them that. But really, our job is education. Our job is to say, okay, you've dealt with this. All right, let's figure out an intelligent way to deal with this. How to handle your emotion, how to handle your thoughts about this. Not, oh, you shouldn't do that. You're 12. You have no, you know, there's no reason you should be thinking the F word. Well, I'm sorry you heard it 5 times in the hallway on the way to class today. You know what I mean?
Yep. You can't just turn your back on these things. It's everywhere. And it's definitely like important not to just slap like, oh, well, when you turn like 15 and you start feeling real emotions, then you're allowed to feel this way. It's very much like, if you're going to feel it now, like, you are entitled to have a voice as a child. It's giving the children a voice, and it all boils back to this like child-centered learning, and children's rights as well are just a huge, I mean, I know that the UK, it's like massive at the moment, focusing on the rights of children and the rights to expression and the rights to like having a voice and expressing your own opinions. Like, I think it's just so important that we guide rather than tell, because I don't know, like, I can think back to a million times where there's been discussions in classrooms and I've heard other teachers just slap it like, no, door closed, like, we're not dealing with that. And I know that you can't spend your entire day just like unpicking the world, but at the same time, it would be ignorant to not support children once these problems arise.
Katie, this is more than I could have ever hoped this episode to be. So we're at an hour and 8 minutes.
Everywhere, hasn't it?
I know. Well, no, this is like the strength of the podcast, is just having a conversation. And the fact that we reach so many topics, you know, this is the highlight of what I want this show to be, which is people having the conversations that matter. And the fact that we've gotten to this point is super good. I gotta have you back on. But before I let you go, okay?
Yeah.
Before I let you go, I want to circle back to this whole idea of positivity in education, because we've talked about,
you know,
we've literally talked about everything. But it is all centered on this idea that we both share, what you and Ryan share on For Teachers, and what we share at Teach Me Teacher, which is this idea that our jobs are so amazing. What we do with kids is amazing. What we get to wake up, even the crappy parts are better than the worst parts of a different job. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it is literally amazing that we get to do this. What, like, if you could leave this show with one message to give the audience and for people to come check out your YouTube channel and follow you guys, what would that message be?
There are so many jobs in this world that you could have ended up with, right? And if you have ended up with teaching as your job, or you're thinking of going into teaching as your job, the gift that you will have through this job is that every single day of your entire life will be different. There will never, ever be a week that just, I don't know, you do the same day twice or the same day 3 times. Every single day will have different paths, different challenges. You will never be bored in this job. You will always be, especially if you're self-motivated, you'll always be finding new things to try out, new ways to become inspired. You know, no day will be the same as another. And anyone who's worried about going into this job, or they've started their application process and they're having second thoughts because they hear about this negativity, you've just got to remember that, you know, you're leaving your mark on this planet. And when you're looking back on the choices you've made about your career, and if you look back on teaching, you're just going to remember. I mean, I remember fondly like my old school. Obviously, there were ups and downs, but every single day I walked in, And I mean, I had an idea, right? I had some plans, and I had some maths planned out, and maybe like an art lesson. And I thought I knew how my day was going to go. But you don't know, like, if suddenly, I don't know, a bird might fly into your room, and then the children are really interested in it. And next thing you know, you're talking about that, and you're writing a care manual for this poor bird. And, you know, every day just is so different. And the children in your care, they will remember this. They will remember everything you do. You're making an actual impact. And, you know, I don't have any children myself, but in a way I kind of have over 100, because, you know, I've affected the lives of that many children. And I'd like to think that all of those children will actually remember me. And when they grow up, hopefully some of the skills that I've given them, they will reflect back on. And yeah, it's an incredible job to have.
Boom. Katie, where can people find you if they want to look you up after this episode?
Do you know, we're really fortunate, because when we chose the name Four Teachers, if you go onto YouTube and you type in Four Teachers, that's F-O-R, not the number, Four Teachers with a space, we are the first hit that comes up on YouTube. So our logo is this little light bulb with a hashtag, which was designed by my sister. That's straight to our channel. That's the easiest way you can get in there, just typing in Four Teachers and following it through. But there are other ways, I suppose, that you can find through. We're on Facebook, Four Teachers, Instagram, Four Teachers. We're trying to get our heads around Twitter still, but we're on there, Four Teachers. It's on there.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Four Teachers.
I've asked a random guy in a coffee shop, does it work? And he says, yeah.
I'm a fan. Like, yeah, and hey. You got, you know, if you're listening to this, I'll link them in the show notes and on the Facebook page, all of that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, hopefully, like, as it grows, we can get more people on board. In the future, we wouldn't rule out collaborations, working with different teachers. We travel a lot, so if we ever swing by your country, like, please, let's meet up. And we want to reach out to people, and we're happy for people to reach back and, you know, let us know if they want to get involved somehow. Hopefully, once the website's up and running, we'll have a space where we can have other creators as part of our channel. And let's keep building. Let's build this community.
For everything else, ladies and gentlemen, go to teachmeteacherpodcast.com, where you can get all of our episodes, everything we've ever done, straight to the device of your choice. If you want to subscribe to us on iTunes, go hit that subscribe button, hit that review and star button. Those things help other teachers find the podcast that you are listening to now and hopefully enjoying. I have created my new Facebook page that is just me. So if you would like to follow me personally, see my own personal journey rather than the Teach Me Teacher brand that I've created, go like me over there. It is the Jacob Chastain on Facebook, and you can hit that like button right there. That way you can follow everything I'm doing, see all of the weird experience I'm doing in my classroom, and all of that amazing stuff. For everything else, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for being an amazing audience. Thank you for being so engaged and reaching out to me with all of your questions. I really do appreciate answering and talking with each and every one of you. And as always, have a good one.